हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 5, the jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Page 80. Thus, being a doer is a quality of the conscious jiva. This is stated in Brahma Sutra 2, 3, 31 to 37. Vijnanam yagyam tanute karmani tanute picha. Knowledge, jiva, performs sacrifice and performs actions, Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5.1. Vijnanam does not mean intelligence in this text. It means the one who is intelligent. Right? It means the jiva is intelligent. He's knowledge. And so that's then what we're talking about, is the person who is. Esha hi drashta sprashta shrota rasayita grata manta bodha karta vijnanatma purushaha. The jiva is the seer, the toucher, the hearer, the taster, the smeller, the thinker, the comprehender, the doer, and the knower. Prashna Upanishad 4.9. Yo vijnane tishtan. Jiva is situated in knowledge. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.22. The jiva is well known as having vijnana. Tad esham pranam vijnanena vijnanam adhyaya. The jiva takes knowledge by knowledge of the pranas. Pranan grihitva. The jiva takes up the pranas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.1, 17 and 18. Since it is stated that the jiva takes pranas and knowledge, the jiva must be a doer. Because action is performed by having knowledge and applying energy, right? So that's the life force. The life force is what makes things move. Like you move because of pranas. Like your arm moves because of the prana. The prana pushes on fire, fire pushes on the nerves, nerves pushes on the muscle, then it moves. Right? Yeah. The jiva does this just as a magnet attracts iron. The jiva does not have senses or other instruments to take up the pranas. Right? So it can't control everything else. That's all being controlled by the Lord. So here, him being a doer is in the context of his relationship with the Lord. So one could say, oh, so then let's just leave it at he's not the one, it's the Lord doing this and that. But then where's the point of the individual and the relationship and everything like that? So only someone who has that more kind of impersonal then will take that aspect as important, right? Only, right? Now, if we take it that we're the main point, then we get the karmi, right? And if we take it the Lord is the main point, and no nothing, there is no jiva, then you get the impersonal, right? You know, and then any combination. So the point is you have to have both. We are individuals, but why do we have to bring up the tattva? It's only because we're misapplying it. But otherwise, if you're not misapplying it, there's no reason to bring it up. You know? Does anybody have to bring up that Mother Jashoda is not the supreme and this and that? No. That's the fun part. She's not the supreme, and she's telling the supreme what to do. Right? That's the taste. You know, just like the baby's not the managerial control in the family, but it's all about the child, you know. So that's the whole thing. That's where the taste lies, is that this is the position. So when the child's trying to take control of everything and that's a problem, But when it doesn't try to do that, it just acts in relationship, then it has, that's where the taste comes. Is that... Yeah?
Actually, all these verses, Upanishad, Tetariya, Prashna Upanishad, it's if someone has not guidance of a devotee, is not inclined toward devotion, it's going automatically toward impersonal understanding.
Yes, basically. Impersonal means you don't accept. You could say it's impersonal means that you accept that there's some aspect of the Supreme, you could say. But technically, as we saw yesterday in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's atheism.
Yes, yes.
Because atheism means it's not theistic, you know, like that. So even if you believe that there is God, but, you know, he's not in control, or, you know, he created, but now he's not running things, that's actually atheistic, because it's not according to the actual theology.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say, I am doing something with mathematics. Right? I'm taking numbers, I'm doing things with them, but it's not actually according to the proper, you know, theorems and everything like that. So it's not mathematical.
Yes.
Right? I'm using numbers.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, what is it? 2 plus 2 is 22.
Yes.
It's not, it's against mathematics.
Yes.
Like that. So just because it sounds, now that sounds logical.
Yes.
You take a 2 and you take a 2. How do you get a 4? But you take a 2 and you take a 2, you get 22.
Yes.
That is very logical.
Yes.
Right? You know, but 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 222.
Yes.
You know, it gets good.
Yes.
You know? So that's logical. So that's what's happening in the material world, is people are taking their logic and saying, this it's not logical.
Yes.
That's according to their particular fallacious viewpoint.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then... And the point comes down is that if it's not actually according to the proper understanding, it is atheistic. Because it's not theistic. It's not according to the proper understanding. And so if you have a misunderstanding of the jiva, the Lord, the material energy, or any combination of that, it's atheism. You know, generally we reserve atheist for someone who says he doesn't believe in God. But actually, he has his definition of what he is. He is who he is. So if you don't accept that, that's atheistic.
But Maharaj, if a living entity who comes to the material world, it does not accept God.
Yes, so basically they're all atheists.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the point, is only coming in contact with the Vaishnavs,
yes,
then they start to change.
Yes.
So, but you have those who are pious, that they're willing to accept the authority or the superior position of the Lord, but not actually who he is.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that. So it's different. Because, why? Because it's being offered that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's what's there in the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
So anything less than that is not up to standard.
Mm-hmm.
So if not having such a relationship with standard, then even any partial means you have only Brahman realization, that would be considered fine.
Yes.
But that's only part.
Yes.
Paramatma is only part.
Yes.
Yes. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maharaj, also in this context, yesterday somebody sent me, one devotee is explaining nicely how all the scriptures are in coordination with each other.
Mm.
And then I was hearing for some time, then after some time, like, I thought there was something that is missing. This is not the way, the Sandarbha Zar. Then at that time it struck me, how Jiva Goswami explains, it's first he explains Bhagavan, and then you're going, everything you're seeing in that context.
Mm-hmm.
If you still explain, everything may be correct, the way you're explaining what the context of each shastra. But if it is not from that direct angle of first you explain Bhagavan and come down, it's never going to be perfect. And that's what exactly Jiva Goswami points out in the beginning of Tattva Sandarbha. That is the darshan which Vyasadeva got from Narada Muni.
Yes.
So what Jiva Goswami is explaining to us and what we are trying to see when we hear is, though it appears like when the words are same, everything is same, but the whole...
It changes.
Completely changes. And it really gives completely different mood and flavor.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's even you see it in things that you do. Let's say you have a combination of two things. Depending on how you put it together, you get different effects.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you put one thing first, then the other, and then the other way, then you get different effects.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Even though you're combining the same thing, just like, let's say, in halva, right? Then we'll put the sugar into the water, in the boiling water, we'll put that in, and then we'll cook it like that until it dries. But I've seen is like Gujaratis, their tradition is that they'll put the suji into the water, not the sugar, and only once the suji has puffed up in that, then they'll put the sugar, because sugar slows things down in cooking. Then they'll put it afterwards. So then it becomes a very soft, nice, what do you call it? But at the same time, it's very wet. You know, very glossy, and the ghee comes out, and, you know, they like that. That's their taste, is that they have that, and then you can see basically all the sugar and the ghee.
Yes.
Well, if you do it the other way, you don't see that. You just see the grains.
Yes.
And they've just, and then when you taste it, then you can tell. So you get very different effects. Yes. So,
I guess it's good for business when you see sugar in the
ghee. Yeah. Then you can see. Yeah, you know you're paying.
What is it?
Yeah.
You want
certain. Yeah, so you might think, is this dry? Did he put enough ghee? But you can see it. So. Yeah, true. I didn't think of that angle. So then for business, that is perfection.
About the emphasis, like...
Yes, the emphasis. That's why the mood of the spiritual master is the most important. So that mood that Srila Prabhupada gives us, you know, then we can actually understand the Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna, you know, the six Goswamis. That mood is the exact. So if we take some other angle, even though technically we can say it's all the pieces are there, it comes out as something else. And it will place you somewhere else. You know? Like that. So that's why we're very strict on following in that way. It's not a matter of being fanatic, because fanatic means you're not using intelligence. It means if you want to be in a specific place, you want exactly... It's not like, I want to get to a specific place, I got to get on a very specific train.
Yes.
I can't just get on a train. Well, I'm on a train, what's your complaint? Yeah, but you're going somewhere else. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing. You have to work out where you're going to end up. You know? Yes?
The difficulty seems to be is that for many devotees, general knowledge of the Shastra or teachings of Srila Prabhupada,
right,
it's good enough. So
yes.
It's like, where the crowd goes, we just follow. It doesn't really matter. They're not like going specific. Because yesterday we discussed this point of general and then specific.
Right.
So then the mantras, Hare Krishna mantra, it's everything is in there.
Yes.
In all the realms and
right.
All the rasas.
Mm-hmm.
But then we give in specific mantras by guru,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, Gora Guru and Kama Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts us in a very specific position from a very, you know, specific viewpoint.
Yes.
But then still, the meditation could be general or specific even on that.
Yes.
So then how we differentiate?
The means differentiation... I mean, if one had means is as Krishna says, or the Shastra says that the what is it? I'm not remembering the verse. The one where it says that if one has implicit faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, then all the imports of the Veda are revealed. Tasya Devi Parabhaktir. Yeah. So that's the point. You have that implicit faith, that focus like that. Then all these things, you won't end up somewhere else. You know, it's because of the ignorance or think, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that and all these things. But that's not our philosophy. We're not Syadvadis. You know, that's Jains. You know, so the point is no, this is given. This is what he's given. The point is Srila Prabhupada saved us, so therefore we're going to follow him. And Lord Chaitanya is giving something that's never been given before, so we don't have to worry that it's not going to be, you know, something special. You know, so we follow that, and we know that it gets to work, and we see what is happening with the people in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? They're all getting love for Krishna, right? You know, how is it all the great personalities, the great our acharyas, how it moved forward? So we know that is it's working, and so we have that implicit faith, and we focus, and then that will get us there. It doesn't mean we don't inquire. But the point is like you said, is there's a generally, you know, not an inquiry. You know, it's just the general knowledge, and that is good enough. And if someone is living that simply, it's fine. They have the few basics, Krishna is God, I'm a servant, and this and that's all they know. It's enough, because they know the principles. As long as they keep their life that simple. Everything in their life they try to do connected to Krishna. It doesn't have to be very sophisticated or that, or it might be sophisticated, but it's very simple. Then it works. But as soon as then we introduce in, you know, all these different kind of new agey kind of philosophies and this and that, then you have to also improve the quality of your understanding of the proper Siddhanta. If you're living simply, you have a simple understanding, that'll work. You live very complicated, you have to have a more detailed development. It's out of balance. Like some people say, oh no, but here we have to keep up with the times and do this and move with all these fancy things. Great, nice. But then you should also know philosophy to that degree. And if you don't, it's out of balance. So those who are simple, then they keep good association, they have that faith, then everything will be revealed. Like that. Because it's not, even though it's saying here about the jiva's the doer, that's being brought out to show that he is an individual who performs actions in relationship with the Supreme. Because others will say, nothing's going on, it's all illusion, no one's doing anything. You know, or if you ask Dhritarashtra, then, you know, what can we do? It's fate. You know, I mean, it's fate. We can't change fate. If fate wants me to be a nonsense, I'll be a nonsense. You know, so that's the thing. He's not taking responsibility. So you want to say, no, you did it, you're responsible. But ultimately we know it's all in connection with the Lord. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So there should be a balance. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? You know, we see when in the Gita, the description of Bhima, you know, voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks. The two go together. You can't do one and not the other. You know, so that's the. If that's there, then all these things will come automatically. That's why you see the devotees would advance so much before, even though they didn't have so much philosophy, but they didn't go outside of that philosophy in their life. Their life, even though they had a simpler understanding of the philosophy, their lifestyle was simple and matched it. And as soon as you get those who get more intellectual and go beyond that, then they need to know more philosophy, because there's a good chance that they're doing something very wrong. You know, it's like, oh no, but how can all these things go wrong, and leadership is doing this and that and all these things, we should do this correction, that correction. But if they don't know the philosophy, they just destroy religion. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that you want to get fancy, you need to know more philosophy. Otherwise, how do you know what you're doing? Because in your mind, it sounds great, just like 2 plus 2 is 22. I mean, that is logical. You know, if I say, okay, if I'm talking to the kid, okay, we have this number 22. What does it consist of? What numbers? It consists of 2 and 2. Right? So even in my explanation of it, that supports that 2 and 2 is 4, is 22, not 4. That's conditioning. What can I do? You know how you say, they just make us memorize all these tables and all that, you know, unthinkingly and that, but when you think about it, no, 2 and 2 is 22. So, does that make sense? So that's the thing, in their mind it's logical, but according to actual logic, it's not. Because they're taking the progression of their own impression. They're not taking the progression of someone else's impression. Right? So someone's trying to make a correction in some social issue, but what is their impression? Right? So they actually have a negative impression. So even they try to influence the society, it will give a negative result. Right? Unless there's a positive, they have a negative experience, then they have a positive experience, and now they're seeing the negative is not right, the positive is right. And so therefore then they want to make social change to bring it in line with that positive experience. Then they might be able to do something a little bit more. But the point is even you have positive, what's positive in this world? Dhanam, janam, sundaram. You got money, you got wealth, you got this, you got sense gratification, you know. What's positive in this world? All right? Like we say, he's a big academic. Now if I say, okay, he's a big academic, that's good. Then, you know, he's recognized and that, he's written so many papers, okay, it's better. He's recognized, oh, he got a Nobel Prize, oh, then that's, you know, basically as good as you get. But that means you gain something from it, it's karma. So it's going to be karma again. You either gain something from the material world or get rid of the material world. You are free yourself from something in the material world. So it's all going to be karma again. So is that actually positive? You know? Does that make sense? Diogenes living in a barrel, for him it was great. For other people, they think he's an idiot.
The difficulty seems to be, specifically with devotees, is that consciously we accept Krishna as the supreme and the process, bhakti, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then subconsciously, and this we can see from the question that the people ask.
Yes, yes.
Subconsciously, we want to encash our practice of pure devotional service. We want to get something tangible from it. Encash, is that the word?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and tangible now.
So consciously, we're devotees. But subconsciously, as you mentioned, we want something from our practice, which is basically karma. I mean, jnana, rarely, but karma most of the time. And then, if it's not happening, after a certain period of time, whatever we have a plan for, then we frustrate it. And then we say, how come Krishna did it, or the process doesn't work, or this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So then, this subconscious idea of, you know, I should get something from it seems really deep in our heart.
Yes, yes. That's the impressions. The impressions, the samskaras are the impressions. So everything we do psychologically is off our impressions. So we say what you want about being intelligent and observant and this and that. If it's not in support of your impression, you don't pursue it. Right? It means the scientist, because he has a taste in what he does. That's why he pursues it. It's not just for, you know, pure science. He's doing it. He's doing it because he has a taste in that. Because if he didn't, he'd be doing something else. So that's the thing, is that the living entity is an individual, is a person. And so then they are subjective. But the point is unless that subjectivity is brought in line with the objectivity or the Lord, it's not going to work. Because otherwise, they claim it's objective, but that objective means everybody should accept my opinion. That's the academics or the intellectuals' definition of objectivity. It means how I look at it, that's how everybody else should look at it. But whatever they say today, they say it's objective, but then why is it after 10, 20 years, it's rejected and the same people are saying, oh, that's not correct, this is correct. That means it was never objective. You know? But, you know, because of illusion and people are in illusion and people like to be illusion, then because an illusion, then you can think I'll be the controller and enjoyer, therefore then people buy it. You know? If you say you'll be happy, then you know, it's just like, what is the one? You have the two drinks. One is that one says enjoy. And so that one's taken as the more popular and this and that. But much of the time when you have a taste test, a blind taste test, people always choose the other one. And then if you tell them, oh, it's that one, they'll say, no, it can't be. Because this one says enjoy, so that has to be the best. That's the way it is. You know, so people are an illusion. You give the idea that you can be. If everyone's equal, that means I have... If everyone's equal, that means I can also be the rich man. I can be the powerful man. I can be this. That's the reason for equality. Because you say, oh, it's going to be spread amongst everyone. You see all these people moving out of their places and giving all their money and everything to the poor people? No, not one of them. Maybe one guy, but then, you know, how well does that go? You know, so it's all it means is I have, if it's equal opportunity, I can move from my place up. It's not that, okay, take it that what you are, make everybody like you. You know, so you're not sharing your house with all these unfortunate people. You know, that they do something, there's some charity, there's some welfare in that. That's nice, that's good. But you have to see is that that's there. Someone's unfortunate, you help them a bit. You know, but the point is it's also known that many times people in that unfortunate position, no matter how much you give them, will remain like that. They don't get better because of the mentality. So unless you can change the mentality, change their... That whole perspective, you can't adjust it from there. Does that make sense? You know, it's a vision. They're in the mode of ignorance, so that everything goes to ignorance. The other day, I was someplace and had a big hospital, and they had the picture of the two guys that founded the hospital. You know. You know, they look like they're probably in their, you know, 60s or something. And, you know, hardcore businessmen. And they're standing there and looking. And, you know, it's one of those kind of formal pictures. But you look at them. And the significant element of it is their sight, how they look. They're just looking how they can exploit anything and everything and make money off of it. And they have that vision. They can look at something and figure out how to make money from that. We'll just think, oh, this is unfortunate. They'll see money. Yes, yes. But, you know, someone else will see politics, someone else will see power, someone else will see enjoyment.
Yes.
You know, someone else will see whatever it is that people see. But unless you're seeing the absolute, you can't balance it all. So that's the thing, it all has to be brought into that. As long as you keep it focused on Krishna, everything will progress forward. As soon as you introduce something else that's going to make Krishna conscious, it's a problem. So we're conditioned to karma. Anybody who's from a religious background is based on karma. You do this work, it'll be good, you'll go to heaven, you'll enjoy now, you'll have no problems, that's the whole thing. So you have the point is that you want the good facility at the same time as you want to avoid any difficulty. So I want the facilities karma, I want to avoid the difficulties jnana. And so that's then the idea that people have about religion. That's why they don't actually understand what religion is. Even you have a religious person, they don't understand what is religion. Right? Because we're taking it that I do good work. There's a system that if I do this good work, I will get good results. So people aren't getting good results, so therefore why should I have faith in this particular organized religion? You know, or they're supposed to be good people, someone's done something wrong, so therefore the religion is not good. Even though they themselves are doing something wrong and they are not getting any good position, they will take their position as stronger, you know, because of their samskaras. So, because religion means the inherent nature of something, what you can't change. So in other words, how does each object, how does it fit into and follow God's laws? What are God's laws governing that particular object? That's religion. And so therefore then, taking that, then you're going to deal in any area. So everything is connected with religion. You know, you build the wall. Can you build the wall at an angle? No, because it's against the rules. By gravity, it'll fall down. You make it straight up, then it stands. But now can you make it without a good foundation? No, it has to have a strong foundation. The higher it is, the bigger the foundation. So you follow those inherent laws, and then you're doing. So nowadays they call it science. But science is just observation of religion. And then they're saying, oh, this is different from religion. And those who are religionists, they don't know that this is religion. And then they say that their faith is the religion. Right? Faith just means where you're going to apply yourself. Religion is religion whether you have faith in it or not. You know what I'm saying? So because of this misunderstanding, then people are going for karma and jnana, and they don't get that, then, you know, because it's about themselves. They so they're remaining within arta, artarti, and jigyasu. But that's why you have to come to the position as jnani. Jnani means he understands his relationship with the Lord and how the Lord is taking care. So he has that gratefulness. So he therefore surrenders and wants to serve the Lord. That will bring him to the Madhyama platform. Right? But these others, then they get what they want, then they may by getting it go away, or by not getting it go away. You know? Like that. So that's why it's recommended that one try to move forward, you know, very quickly. Otherwise, then you know, that's why it's recommended to get to the Madhyama platform, to Nishta, because then you'll be fixed in devotional service. And while the others, then they have a tendency as they can get distracted. Does that make any sense? Yeah. So again, they're just looking at it from their perspective. Because we're saying God is there and everything, and He's created, but why would He do that? Right? Because He knows, it's just like the parents. They make a nice house, they make nice facilities, they do all these things because they know what will be good for the family. Kids don't know. You know? Like that. So it's like, okay, the child has toys, right? And the toys have a place to be kept, right? Some box, some cabinet, something like that. That's been arranged by the parents. The kids can play, but then what do they do after they play? They put the stuff back. You know, if they put it somewhere else, you know, it's against the rules. They pile all the toys up on the couch. You know, it's against Dharma. They go in the box. You know, the people go on the couch. Yes.
Yesterday you mentioned that we should keep the discussion on the Vijnana Maya and Ananda Maya levels of consciousness. But it appears that the audience likes to drag it down.
Always.
The audience.
I mean, you're saying always.
Yeah, always.
Because that's where the taste is.
Yeah, because then there's something to argue about. Because if you keep it up there, like you say, it's a dharma, then there's like basically discussion is that it's over. But then people feel, you know, very uncomfortable. So we have this experience. You say something, they drag it down. Then you give them arguments to support the idea, they do it again and then
Yeah. That's the process. Hence, then, Srila Prabhupada, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, says that, you know, to get this work done, it will take gallons of blood. You know, blood means energy.
Yeah.
You know, because one drop of blood, you know, is 60 mouthfuls of food. You know, so it's going to take a lot of time and energy. You know?
We need to take a little of prasadam.
Yeah, see? The preacher should take more prasadam. Yeah. Very good. I like this plot. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
The bottom line, right? Yeah. Yeah. So then, it's always, but the thing is then you show technically there, but bring it back. You can use this example what they're talking about, but always bring it back to that philosophy. So that's why sometimes you see in Prabhupada's purport, he's talking about the philosophy and then giving an example. And we'll only catch the example.
Yes.
And then try to argue, see, Prabhupada says this, but that's an example for something else. You know, it's like, you know, just like, you know, the soul by nature is servant. They're always going to serve. So even they have, you know, have the dog, they're going to be serving the dog. They're going to take him for a walk. So you know, like that. So see here, Prabhupada said, you know, about taking dogs for a walk. So that means we can have dogs, we can take them for walks. No, Prabhupada is talking about that the soul is a servant. So a tendency is to do that, you know. Because of what we mentioned, the previous point was because of impressions. So what impressions to you are of value, that's how you're going to interpret everything. That's why then hermeneutics is very important, is that what is the interpretation of the acharyas, how they have understood the scriptures. That's how we have to see it. That's shastra chakshus. Otherwise, we're going to see it according to our impressions, you know. You know, who cares?
Well, as Prabhu mentioned yesterday, our impression is Christmas is good.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, whatever. It's like an indirect way of Vaishnav Seva. Right? You know, it should be that regularly, Dadati Pratigrinati Guhyamakati Prichati Bhunkte Bojayate. So here's an opportunity to give gifts and sit and talk and have food and everything like that. So we don't necessarily do it on other occasions, but at least on this occasion someone's doing it. Does that make sense? So it doesn't necessarily mean as a standard, but it just means that's the good side of it. You know, but if it's all about, oh no, but you know, our Lord, the Savior and all that, then we have a problem here. Because anyway, he didn't appear then anyway. I think it was someplace time in August.
Yeah,
it's a pagan hard holiday. Right?
Yeah, it's a pagan, exactly.
Yeah. So generally, we tend to, by at least Europeans by default, tend to be pagan. You scratch a little bit and then the pagan comes out. Yes.
Well, in a preaching or teaching, can we say that since when we are conditioned, we have like a tendency to focus on sanctification, karma again, is very strong. So can we say that a teacher or a preacher must have focus more strong in bhakti?
Yes, you could say.
And it's like a fighting, in one sense, huh? Because Srila Prabhupada has a lot of success because he presented always pure bhakti to any type of person.
Yes, yes.
And many become change their consciousness.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So is it like teaching or preaching means like it's useful for a person who is doing that because he become more fixed in Krishna consciousness, and maybe the samskara are changing.
Yes, it means samskaras have become purified. It means it's not the samskaras that are there, you just have other ones that replace it.
Yeah.
That's why Krishna says, by tasting a higher taste, you give up a lower. Doesn't mean the other samskar is not there, it's just not as important.
Yes.
Like Yamunacharya.
Yes.
You know, he makes that point.
Yes.
Is that since tasting the holy name, anything else isn't important anymore.
Yes.
So, if, by preaching pure devotion, we'll be thinking about pure devotion, and our own life will endeavor for that, and then because of that, then that will give also, we'll improve, and because of that, then our ability to, you know, help others improves.
Yes.
So that's the, you know, how you say there's a Western saying, doctor, heal thyself,
mm.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So the whole point is we should ourselves be trying to practice pure devotion,
yes.
Then our preaching of pure devotion, you know, works very well.
Yes, yes.
You know, so yeah, it's the natural thing to do.
Yes.
It's a natural thing to do, because if that's there, so the point is you're speaking to it, the idea is the message is pure devotional service.
Yes.
So therefore, then if that's the message, then you're talking to a variety of people. Then to the person you're talking to, you want to relate pure devotional service into their life.
Yes.
Therefore, you might be using certain examples or concepts or ideas that they can relate to. But through that, you're teaching pure devotion.
Yes.
If you're just relating to them and all, oh, we just have a rapport and that's very nice. Okay, that's good for people that are either very congenial by nature, and so all they do is that, and so they're just continuing their conditioning, or they're suffering from lack of that social interaction, and now that they're getting it, then they're very happy. But it's also, again, material. The point is the conversation dealing in these areas is only to bring one to an understanding of pure devotion. Like that. So the example is to carry the message, right? You know, in the logical progression, you have your main point that you're making, your thesis. So then you give your reasons for that, then you give your examples. But the reasoning should be explaining the point you're making, and the example should illustrate the point you're making, not that the examples are separate. So therefore, that's why when you're preaching, you'll be speaking with examples that relate to the person you're talking to, you know, right? And so then that's all it's for. But now if we just get into the example and start discussing example, because like many times in a class you'll be saying something and give an example, and then the question will come up about knowledge within that example rather than the point being made, you know? Yes. Means if it's a general discussion, it doesn't matter, because anything about Krishna connected to Krishna will be nice, because you just relate it all to Krishna. You know? But if you're trying to study a particular, theme of something, then it can be distracting. So one's going to have that. The beginning stages, there'll be more distraction. As you go, it gets less and less. So, yeah, just takes time. Okay. Yeah. Vritti. The next Anucheda states that all pervasiveness is the quality of only the Paramatma and not the Jivas, because the scriptures describe that the eternal, unlimited, infinitesimal Jivas are all controlled by the all-pervasive Supreme Lord. Right? Because there's going to be that aspect, that sarvagata aspect. So they're going to take it that the individual jiva is all-pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Anucheda 34. Does that make sense? Rather than just there's unlimited jivas.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, shelter of everything. If the jivas were unlimited and eternal and all-powerful, the scriptures would not say that they are under your control. But the jivas are not so, and thus are under your control. Right? So they're not unlimited and eternal and all-powerful. Right? Like that. It means they have an aspect of eternality. They have an aspect of Shakti. Right? An aspect of happiness, but they're not the greatest. The product, which has the qualities of the cause, cannot be separated from the cause, right? So the jivas, they may have the qualities of Krishna because he's Satchitananda and we're Satchitananda. So we have the same qualities. But you can't say that you can separate them from the cause, because it's only because Satchitananda is Krishna and we're a part of that, a fragment of that. That's why then everything is functioning. We're not an independent, you know, Satchitananda, because he's the Satchitananda. So the Satchitananda on us is his potency. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah.
That's nice. When you can say like that, it is said that the jiva is eternal.
Yes.
At Krishna. So the question is like, is eternal, is Satchitananda, means he wants happiness, like that. So the difficulty is to separate that is he wants happiness and he's serving Krishna.
Yes.
Because this is our samskara are not in that line.
No, that's the point. The conditioned soul, their samskaras are not in line with serving Krishna.
Yes.
The idea is that in the material world, everyone's serving themselves.
Yes.
And whatever they identify as themselves. So they may identify family, you know,
yes,
community, nation, humankind,
yes,
you know, with themselves. So therefore, that's why it's important.
Yes.
You know, because you'll see, it's, let's say, there's some activists, they're out and they're you know, professing a particular, you know, some particular facility or rights or safety or something for a particular group. There's another group that's fighting for something completely different. You know, it's just, does that make sense? You know, there's the guys that are out in the boat, you know, in front of the oil tanker and all that, and then they try to block it, and the oil tanker just, you know, goes over them, and they drown. And so then other activists could say, well, that was stupid, I wouldn't do that. And then the next thing, those guys are chaining themselves to trees, and then they cut down the tree, you know? So the thing is they all have their idea because it's connected to them. I think trees are important, therefore I'm a greenie. Someone else thinks this, therefore he's that. And, you know, someone else, it's about the orcas. You know, the orca, you know, the killer whales, you know, why they're keeping them and this and that. But at the same time, if the orca ate the dolphin, you would be upset with the orca. You know, so whatever it is, that's just the way they are. You know, so the point being is that you have to see things in line with how Krishna and the Acharyas explain it. Because our view is always going to have a problem. We can bring, that's why we use the word dovetail. You can bring your particular view in line with Krishna's, and then that works. But the point is it's on its own, it's not of value. Because I brought it in line with Krishna, as it becomes spiritualized, its only value is because it's been able to be spiritualized. But it itself has no more value than that. You know? Does that make sense? The frying pan has value because it does certain things in the kitchen. If it doesn't do those things, what's the point? I have a frying pan, but there's a hole in the bottom. Can I do things in it? No, everything falls out the hole. Not only that, it makes the fire go out. You know? So its value is only in as much as it supports cooking. So in the same way as our particular conditioning, being engaged in Krishna service, its only value is that it's engagement in Krishna service. On its own, it's just another ordinary thing going on in material creation. And why it's special, why it can do things, why does that wall stand up? Because of Krishna's potency. So ultimately, it's only because of Krishna it's special. So, and the only reason that it's not us, the body is that because it's connected with Krishna, the modes of nature, they make everything happen, the universal form. So you can say, no, but we're superior, we're the jiva. Why are we superior? Because we're a fragment of Krishna's superior energy, not of the inferior. So the inferior energy is so amazing, so the superior energy is even more, and we're a fragment of that. But being a fragment, we're not the whole. So it's not about us. You know, we're used to trying to make it about us, but it's not about us. It's about us in relationship. You know, it's like if you and a friend, you have a relationship, but in your dealings it's always about yourself. How good is the friendship? Not very much. And now especially, now if he's accommodating, oh, it'll kind of work. But now let's say they're also self-centered. Then how much friendship can be there? So unless there's some common point that the two of you are against that one, then, you know, that, you know how you say? Two enemies that have a common enemy become allies. You know. So does that make sense? So like that, then it's so you have to see is that then most of these things are just politics. Someone's friends with someone because of the benefit they'll get from it. So it's not, you have to bring it in line with Krishna. You know, you're going to have to work with your samskars, but you have to understand the samskars have no value until they're connected to Krishna. They're just more fleeting moments of, you know, they're all in the past. Your samskars are in the past. So if you focus on them and make everything about them, you're functioning in ignorance, literally. And then they can't take advantage of the present because of the samskars. So there can't be goodness. They can have ideas, oh, I could get this, so then they'll live in the future as passion. So
we need to always be aware of the deep principle of Krishna consciousness.
Yes, we always have to be a point of Krishna consciousness. That's why you always have to bring it back.
Yes.
So you see, Prabhupada would more comfortably speak about eating, sleeping, mating, defending than we will necessarily.
Yes. Yes.
Because he has no interest in them.
Yes.
And so he could very easily speak about them. Like children, they can speak about all kinds of stuff. They can ask the most embarrassing questions.
Yes.
Adults can ask embarrassing questions. Kids can ask more embarrassing. Because they don't have any attachment for it. So for them, it's just, okay, so. So that's the... The product which has the qualities of the cause cannot be separated from the cause. The cause is thus the controller of the effect, right? So Krishna is the cause, we're the effect. Those who think you are like other objects are in ignorance since they reject the conclusion of Scripture. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-30. Meaning is this. The Shrutis say that the jiva is an amsa of Paramatma and arises from him. This is confirmed in Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke. The jivas are my amsas. Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Thus, the jiva cannot be all-pervading. And if the jivas, tanu britaha, who are unlimited in number and eternal, apari mitaha, were all-pervading, sarvagata, there would not be a rule that they are controlled. Shashyateti niyama nasyat, since they could not be pervaded by anything else being spread everywhere. If you're spread everywhere, nothing else can pervade you. So nothing pervades Krishna because he's spread everywhere. You know? So we have to understand is that this specific thing here. When Prabhupada says sarvagata, he's meaning jivas are everywhere. The first point. Unlimited in number. You know, tanu britaha. That is that then where the sarvagata. Not that the individual jiva is spread everywhere. By consciousness, they can have, just as Krishna, being the supreme Satchitananda, he can spread his consciousness everywhere. We, being a fragment of Satchitananda, we can limitedly expand our consciousness. But we're not like him. You know, it's not logical to say something so minor becomes unlimited. But what I can say is, we see in the modern society that the physicists and all that, then they'll say is all matter was in this unlimitedly small space, and then it somehow or another explodes and is expanding unlimitedly forever. So this kind of foolishness it's not that you have to be an idiot to think like that. You can be very intellectual and still be a fool. Right? Foolish just means you don't actually see things as they are. It doesn't mean that you don't have intellectual ability. Right? Is that... Yeah. So we're saying people are foolish, not stupid. Right, got it. It is not that there is... It is not that there is no scripture rule that the Lord is the controller and the jiva is controlled. O fixed Lord, Dhruva. Means the scriptural rule says the Lord is the controller, the jiva is controlled. That's always said. So even if another place it says the jiva is sarvagata, we have to understand is that all the unlimited jivas are controlled by Paramatma. They may be eternal, but they're still, he's the big eternal, they're the small eternals. You know, nityo nityanam. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From the Lord, all these jivas arise. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1. The jivas are manifested from the Lord and exist as the controlled in relation to the Lord, who is the controller, right? He, not in connection with the Lord, he tries to control, therefore he's known as the doer. But in the spiritual world, even they control, they do everything in connection with the Lord. So they're working with the Lord's energies simply for the benefit that they can give to the Lord. So, yeah. Since the Lord is all-pervading and the jivas are pervaded, so this is so because in all cases one sees a relationship of effect and cause. Right, because it means just like you have clay and you have a pot, right? You can say that they're equal, but the pot doesn't pervade the clay, but clay pervades the pot. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's it.
Should we endeavor to connect with Paramatma as a Jivatma and then to know more about the universe?
Do we need to connect with Paramatma to know more about the universe? I mean, what's our purpose in knowing about the universe?
To expand our knowledge.
Okay, to expand knowledge. Why would we want to expand knowledge? He's going through all the Russian questions.
Yeah.
Going through the archive.
Actually, some devotees, they argue.
Yes, that's what I'm just saying. Is that you just take it back. You know.
That if we do that, then we are more... Well, basically, it comes down with more control, and then...
With knowledge, I gain control.
Yeah, that's more enjoyment.
It's just like, let's say there's a group of women. One woman knows some dirt on the other women. So through that knowledge, now who's in control? Right? So that's what we want, knowledge for control. Because with knowledge, like it says, with knowledge and prana, then the jiva is doing things. So that's the whole point. Knowledge is for the purpose of applying it. So if someone has knowledge and never applies it, everyone will say there's something wrong. Because knowledge is for application. Because here is that you know more about the Lord, but the point is what will you gain by knowing more about the Lord? If you think that's the main point. Right? Yes.
Also, on this point, it's already mentioned in the Puranas. The Puranas are meant for that. They describe the 10 aspects. The first 9 deal with all the universal maintenance aspects.
Oh, okay.
And then, but we do that, as Jiva Goswami established, in order to attain surrender unto the Lord. That is the 10th aspect.
Okay. Yeah, it means as long as it's progressing towards surrender to Krishna, then it works. But to think that by me having that knowledge, then I will get benefit, then that has a material tendency. Because the point is, there's so much knowledge is there. So what knowledge are they pursuing? Are they studying Srimad Bhagavatam in more detail, all the different explanations of creation that are there? Because that's what you're dealing with. Paramatma is the controller of energy, so you should know the creation. That's Paramatma. You know? So then, how that works and all that, I generally don't see that. So then what knowledge are going after? Yes.
Second canto and third canto actually are the most.
Yes, second, third, and also then fifth gives, you know, structure and all those things like that.
Yeah. That's even more physical. This second and third canto goes into more of the Achintaveda with the tattva explanation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But nobody wants to.
Yeah, I remember that one time we were going along and then someone heard about the classes and they came and they sat down and were talking for a while. He says, so this is Bhagavatam. Yeah, says, what canto? And when I said second canto, they just stood up and walked off. He says, I don't read second canto.
Many devotees actually do like that. They just skip second canto. Because it doesn't make any sense to them. Especially when it opens with an answer. Because all the questions are in the first canto.
Right.
And then the second canto opens, it's like, where's the question? We already forgot about the questions. And then it's very unusual.
But the second canto, but that's the beginning of the discussion. First canto is answering, you know, I mean, so many things, but one of the aspects is, how did this Bhagavatam come to be spoken? You know, why was it published? And so then, you know, then it has the whole arrangement with Parikshit Maharaj and his background, because then when they start with Uttara, you know, and then from there, because then that's his appearance, and then going until then, you know, he's cursed and he's sitting down on the bank of the Ganga. Then Sukadev comes and that, and he's going to speak. So that ends the first canto.
Yes.
So second canto is where he starts.
Yes.
And so if we see the Vedic literatures, when they start, they always start from creation. So that's why I say, why are they starting at creation? You know, I have this question. No, but unless you understand that, how will you know what's going on here? You know, if you don't understand the cause, how will you understand the effect? You know, so the ultimate cause is Krishna. Without understanding Krishna, you won't understand the secondary cause, so you won't understand the effect.
Also, yeah. When we look in detail, the Shakti Parinama and then Satkaryavada are what emphasized in the second canto, the philosophy.
Mm.
And then as we move into third canto, then we get more accustomed to the Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva. And from that perspective is what then Bhagavan is described.
Mm.
So actually by the time when the story starts about Lord showing mercy, we actually are into the seeing from the viewpoint of Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva.
Mm.
Then you can go further and then a canto by canto then you go on.
Something's being added.
Yeah, added so that then it's more rasa than you go up till prema, because then it's very solid, like how you view, and then by the time you have to go to 10th canto, then you are appreciative of the Mahabhava.
The jivas are manifest from the Lord and exist as the controlled in relation to the Lord, who is the controller. Since the Lord is all-pervading and the jivas are pervaded, so that's how you know he's the controller, we're controlled. Because he pervades everything, we don't. So that's why they very much are trying to get, no, we pervade everything, because what does that do? It makes us the controller. Because we want to be the controller and enjoy it, because if you can control, you can enjoy. Like that. So actually you see is the endeavor for control is more vehement than enjoyment. Because if you control, you can't enjoy. But if you're enjoying, then once that's over, then what? So if I control, I can see too the sustainability of my enjoyment. So you see is that there's more fight over people controlling than enjoying. Does that make sense? Yeah, yes.
Also feminine nature tends to control more. It always moves towards control.
Yes.
Understanding that exact point that if I control, then enjoyment just happens automatically. You don't really have to endeavor for that.
Yes.
Like separate endeavor.
Yes. Yes. It goes together. And the masculine nature doesn't mind being controlled by the feminine, because then if they're controlled, then they enjoy.
Yes.
You know, so that's the whole thing. It's for the masculine is the control, is the natural position. The feminine is the enjoyment position. So then the feminine tries to get in control of the control, and the masculine tries to get in control of the enjoyment. Yeah. So like that. So
perfect.
Yes, perfect match. If they follow the religion, it goes perfectly. If not, then it's a battle. But even if it's going nicely, it's still a battle, but it works. Everything works out nicely.
And you know who wins.
Yes, you know who wins.
Daily here, sure.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so we can see is why, because remember we were asking, maybe 2 years ago? There would always be the point in Vedanta Sutra and to come up, why do they say these things, you know, of the impersonalist? Why do they come up with these things? What's the need? It's because they want to be the controller. They want to pervade everything, because if I pervade, I control. But if I don't pervade, but I am pervaded, you know? So that's the point, is they're trying to get that from. So that's why they're still materialists. You know, you can say they're working within the transcendental field, but they're still materialists. This is so because in all cases one sees the relationship of effect and cause. Right? If you're intelligent, it means how do you know what you can do with the pot unless you know the nature of clay? Right? So anything you're dealing with, like this table, because I know the nature of wood, then I can know how to deal with the table. Or I know the nature of a table, and so that nature, then this is manifest. And so I can keep things inside, but at the same time, because it's wood, I have to deal in a certain way. I can't leave this out in the rain. Like that. So, yeah. What produces ajani, the materials of this world, yan mayam, must be the controller, niyantri, of what is produced. Right? So, who produces the material? They're the controller. So Krishna produces. That's why Brahma and Shiva aren't the actual controllers. They try to say they're the supreme, but they don't produce the material energy. The 24 ingredients aren't produced by either of them. Right? It's produced by Krishna. It does not release vimuchya, the produced object at all. It pervades it completely. So the Lord pervades everything completely. So when he says smaller than the smallest, we're the smallest. So he's smaller than that. So he pervades even the jiva. Because it's all part of him. You know, it's just like you pervade your finger. Like that.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, so that's it. It's part of you. So it has the nature.
The jiva is rebellious.
Yes, we want the finger wants to take control.
Yes. Yes.
A person who maintains anujanatam, that paramatma, the material cause, is similar samam to other beings, is ignorant amatam, because his intelligence is impure mata dushtaya. Dushtataya. Hearing some impure opinions, he speaks contrarily. Shruti says. Right? So they are trying to say that he's the same. Because the point is okay, scripture says that, you know, he's the controller and I'm the controlled. But now, so on that point, I can't win. But if I can say that the Lord is the same as everybody else, then in that way, by that backwards arrangement, I can bring it around to myself. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that we're trying in some way. If one thing doesn't work, well, what about this way? What about that way? And, you know, so that's what they're doing, because they want to be the controller. Because the point is the thing. And when they talk about becoming Brahman realized, what do they talk about? They talk about how then you become, you pervade everything. That's what they Mayavadis talk about. You know, but the impersonal, the Brahmavadis, what are they talking about? Everything's Brahman. So I'm Brahman, everything's Brahman. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about pervading everything. They never say, I pervade, I'm Brahman, and everything else is Brahman. They're not talking about pervading. Because that's not important to them. But to the Mayavadis, pervading is so important to them, because who pervades controls. So that's why they're so attached to pervading everything. So, yeah? Okay, Shruti says, Asamo va esha paro nahi kaschid evam drishyate sarve tvete naro jayante cha mriyante cha chidra yete bhavant yaparo na jayate na mriyate sarve yapurnas cha bhavati. The Lord should not be seen as equal to others. All men are born and die and have faults. The Lord is not born and does not die. All others are imperfect. Chaturveda Shiksha. Natat samas cha bhyadikaras cha drishyate. No one is equal or greater than the Lord. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6:8. Ata kasmad uchate brahma brimhati brihmayati cha. Why is he called Brahman? He increases and causes increase. Brihad tvad brimhan natach cha yad brahma paramam viduhu. They know the Lord as the Supreme Brahman because he is great and nourishes others. Vishnu Purana 1:12:57. Therefore, Paramatma alone is all pervading. Right? So that's the point being made. Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.